You may have heard that in the midst of the challenges, SAA is also introducing new fleets in some of the routes. It's but part of looking at sustainability of that enterprise. Danel also was in the news recently in respect of the issues to do with liquidity. That matter has since been addressed, and again, Danel has a turnaround plan which hopefully, given also the pipeline of investments that they are having in their books, for which the implementation thereof will lead to that organization getting back on its feet. It is something that we are assisting them with. Transnet as well is in the course of making investments of the tune of 153 billion rand over the next 5 years. That shows the resilience in spite of the challenges that may be there. You, regarding Eskom, the President, even in the response or in the SONA debate, made further announcements in respect of assisting that entity to ensure that it is a going concern, it can be able to discharge its responsibilities. I'm sure in no time the Minister of Finance would be coming to Parliament to make further announcements in terms of further support that is agreed to in respect of Eskom. Again, the appointment of the CRO, the Chief Restructuring Officer, is soon to be concluded, which will see a longer-term turnaround strategy focused upon in terms of getting Eskom in good health again. Well, again, it's a mixture of things. Just 2 weeks ago, I think, we've had Eskom announce that in Medupi, one of the terminals that has been worked at being brought to script to stream and which contributes to the available load in the grid throughout, one of the terminals there has actually been taken onto commercial operation, which would really add to the ability. You would have observed that since the load shedding we have experienced in the beginning of the year earlier, we have had a considerable time, and again, even most recently, they were giving the assurance that even during this winter period, the likelihood of having load shedding has been obviated in the measures that have been put in place. So this is really the frame in which we are approaching the work, dealing with the instruments, the mechanisms we have, that is departmentally, to be able to provide that support, that leadership, but also working with each of the entities in respect of the pertinent issues that each of the entities face and the environment in which they operate. That is what I could, Chair, at an introductory level, say it is the context, the environment in which we are proceeding with the annual performance plans that have been put in place. They should be looked at against that background, and you will advise, Chair, as to how the committee would wish to proceed. Otherwise, the Acting DG is ready to then go into the meat, the substance of what the allocation we have is intended to be used for. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Before, I just want to check first, because Minister, Deputy Minister, while you were speaking, I've noticed as a teacher by profession, when I'm teaching and student writing a lot, I became worried that I'm going to ask a lot of questions. Now, I'm pursuing everybody. Every time you mention a point, a lot of people are writing. Now, I just want to check, honorable members, whether we are going to proceed to the DG to present, or we'll engage a deputy minister. I just want that procedure, to agree with that procedure. Well, he raised a lot of issues. Are we going to pub them and allow the acting DG to make his presentation, and then we engage all these issues? Perhaps some of the questions, I'm not trying to influence you, maybe some of the questions, when he provides that meet, might cover some of your questions. I'm saying, because myself, I'm tempted by the presentation, but I'm trying to organize myself to, Honorable Gwena?
Thanks, Chair. I will suggest to the honorable members that we listen to the acting DG, and I'm sure that what the minister, the deputy minister, is talking about will also interlink to what the acting DG will talk about and give more information. I think what you are writing, Chair, we are also getting more information. I think the overview, the political overview by the deputy minister was very informative. Thank you. That's
what we might say. Is it the view of everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to you, the acting DG. This acting I don't like it. Because I'm one of the actors. Okay.
Thanks, rest assured that acting is not one of my first, I'm not talented with that. Honorable members and members of the portfolio committee, we have tabled the annual report. It's a nice glossy book, We completed this work before the end of the fifth administration. We, at this point in time, we are in the process across government in terms of finalizing the what we call as the medium strategic framework for the next 5 years, particularly for this administration. So the government is working hard to making sure that this is concluded, and we hope that later in the year, once this framework is completed and is accepted and adopted by government, we will be able to review our strategic plan as the department and be able to table them at this committee. So our strategic plan have not changed. So as the medium-term strategic framework is concluded, we'll review our strategic plan and be able to table for the next financial year. This will cover the 5 year period of the sixth administration, and we hope that we'll get the opportunity to come again and present those strategic plans. The 2019 year marked the end of the 5 year planning cycle for the previous administration. However, this APP, as we continue to do the work that has been mandated to this department, is underpinned by the recommendations of the National Development Plan. We always endeavor to implement the recommendation of the Presidential Review Committee, and most of the work that we always do is informed by the State of the Nation address that is outlined in the introduction by the Deputy Minister. I think the most important thing for us over the last 16 months has been about restoring good governance, stabilizing operation, as well as reviewing the financial structure of our state-owned companies, particularly the seven that reports to the Minister of Public Enterprises. The next slide, which is slide number 4, just remind us about what is the role of our state-owned companies and to continue to reaffirm that role. We are first to acknowledge that the work of the the state-owned companies council that is being visited by the presidential review recommendation will also be mandated to look at the roles of the state-owned companies and to give impetus and to reaffirm or to look at those state-owned companies and basically give the rationale and the mandate for those state-owned companies. So we'll be taking this work to that council. Our expectation is that the council will meet in this quarter before the end of September, and that is where most of the work will be done around the state-owned entities. We reaffirm the mandates of the entities that belong to us. We outline them in terms of in slide number four, the role of ESCOM, the role of Transnet, the role of Sparkol, Dinel, Alexco, South African Express, and South African Airways. This is outlined in slide number four. Critical is to say that ESCOM is to provide efficient generation, distribution, and transmission of electricity, and the rest of the other entities is listed there. Deputy Minister has spent some time just highlighting the challenges. The slide five talks to those challenges, just making sure that we continue to remind ourselves about the challenges that the state-owned companies are facing, both external and both internal challenges, which relates to particularly the internal challenges, the issues around governance, which has received priority from this from the department, and also around the operational and financial challenges. We are first to acknowledge that, and I think the Deputy Minister has outlined some of the issues. He also talked to the interventions that as a department we have, through the Minister as an executive authority, we have been able to implement, including the appointment of board, making sure that the operations at our entities or our companies are attended to and improved, and also highlighting the importance of the SOE councils, which we think it will be an important forum to be able to deal with this matter. As a department, we are appointed the secretariat of this council, and we'll be taking all these issues to this council, making sure that the SOCs receive the necessary attention if required. So we highlight some of the intervention that has happened over the last period, including the recovery of some money, particularly as happened at ESCOM, and with some of the issues that are related to Transnet, where there have been civil claims against the individuals who have been involved in what we might have perceived to have been inappropriate way of using companies' resources. So on slide eight, I just want to highlight just present an overview of the department, and just highlight the fact that we've got three programs. The first program is the administration, and part of the administration is the office of the DDG, of the office of the DG. Under business enhancement, that is where we spend most of the time, where we've got our sector teams. These sector teams do most of the work around ESCOM and all Transnet and all the companies that belong to the department. And the program number three, which is governance, assurance, and performance, we've got two critical areas there in that program. First relates to the financial performance of the entities, which is the responsibility of under this this program, where on a quarterly basis, a monthly basis, we look at the financial performance of the entities, we do the analysis, and we present those and produce the reports to make sure that we've got oversight over our entities. But also, we also look at the governance, the composition of the board. We look at the number of meetings. We also have developed a framework in terms of analyzing the effectiveness of the board. So slide nine just gives you a detail in terms of the the programs. So just an overview of the programs. I'll start with program number one. One of the critical performance indicators that we have elevated, you will have seen in the previous annual performance plan. This indicator will have been assigned to one of the to program two, but we have elevated this indicator to program one under the office of the DG, which is the finalization of the shareholder management bill, which will be translated into a green paper as we make consultation for this year. And we hope that we'll accelerate that that process for the bill to end up into a law, which will clarify or define how government manages its own state-owned companies. And this work will also be part of the work that we'll take to the SOE Council, making sure that we develop uniform standards and process and norms in terms of how we manage our state-owned entity. So we have elevated this this item to the office of the DG to make sure that it receives the necessary support and then it becomes the focal point of the office. With regards to program two, two indicators that are critical that I want to highlight around this program relates to the board performance evaluation. So we will be implementing the framework that we have developed and making sure that we review the effectiveness of the board and making sure that we have the board that able to respond to the challenges of the of our entities. We have done the review of this board, and where we have appointed new board, it was as a result of the review that we have done. We'll continue to do that. But critically also, with regard to this program, is anti-fraud and corruption hotline that we have established as a department, and we have continued to make it visible and making sure that we are able to receive the issues and monitor it effectively, and making sure that we forward all the issues that have been reported to the relevant authorities. So the hotline is established, and we continue to monitor it for all the incidents that are reported. Also with regard to program two, two critical things is the number of the reviews, particularly around the information that we get from the SOCs. This is slide 15. We spend some time analyzing all the financials reports that come from the SOCs and making sure that we understand the challenges and also looking at opportunities that the financials present to us. We review the corporate plans, and those corporate plans, once adopted, they are used as a benchmark for holding the entities or the companies to account to the ministry. So on an annual basis, we conclude the corporate plans, and they are signed. They'll be signed and approved by the minister, and making sure that the minister contracts with the board in terms of making sure what they need to deliver. And on a continuous basis, we monitor those reports. So one of the critical issues that we also do, we do a consolidated progress report on the SOC audit findings, and we have been coming to this committee to report. So we are at the time of the year where the department and the state-owned companies under our responsibility are finalizing their financials and also their annual report. And once this is done, we'll come and present to the committee and also report on the audit findings, the previous ones in terms of what progress has been done in terms of addressing those audit findings, and also how are we dealing with the new findings. So with regard to program three, which is business enhancement and industrialization, That is where we have most of our, which is slide number 14, that is where we have most of our sector specialists. Our teams in the department are expected to, the point that the Deputy Minister was highlighting around making sure that we've got requisite skills and the capacity to be able to understand what is happening in terms of the operations of the companies, and making sure that we are able to, as a department, make necessary intervention, particularly in our engagement with the board and management in terms of how the operational performance of the business. So that's where most of the work is being done in terms of the operational performance. So we look at the performance of the organization, and all the indicators that we have from slide 13, 14 and 15 relates to how we contract and making sure that we look at the performance of the entities. On slide 16, this relates to the energy and resources. Three entities belong to this sub-program under program 3. This is Eskom, Alexco and Safcor. We talk about the conclusion of the shareholder compact. These are the contracting that is done between the minister and the board in terms of what should be delivered. Once this has been signed and concluded, we monitor the performance of the entities or the companies against this shareholder compact. So we are in the process of finalizing the shareholder compact for this financial year. We continue to review, provide a review on Eskom fleet performance, and this we do on a continuous basis. We do a detailed report on a quarterly basis, but on a daily basis we continue to look at the performance of the company and do a detailed report which we present on a quarterly basis to the minister. And this is used for the engagement that we have with the board and the management of the entities. We also, starting from this year, we will be reporting on the implementation of the Eskom turnaround plan. The President has spent some time, and the Minister, in the response to the State of the Nation address, outlining what is on the turnaround plan of Eskom. So we will be starting to report in terms of the progress of the turnaround plan. In terms of Alexco, the report on the implementation of Alexco proposed shareholding optimal structure, these are the reports that we continue to provide on a quarterly basis. With regards to transport and defense, this is slide number 19, we also will be concluding shareholder compact and report in terms of the progress in the implementations of particularly for DINEL around the restructuring of the DINEL, which is a new indicator that will be continued to make sure that we make sure that we keep abreast of the development at the company. This indicator that relates to Transnet, this related to the period 2014 to 2019. We have looked at this indicator and will be reviewing this. We have revised the indicator because at the time when this indicator that has been part of the previous MTSF framework, we have realized that it has not been able to achieve the 330 performance target that has been set for the last 5 years. So we have revised this target and will be monitoring Transnet against this target. So the next sub-programs talks to research and modeling. So we are upskilling and making sure that the department is able to provide informed sector analysis, particularly around the broader sectors where our entities are operating, so which is like 21. So we continuously generate sector analysis, particularly around aviation, around energy sector, the trends around the transport, to understand what is happening in terms of the trends, what's happening in other countries, to inform our engagement with the entity. So this unit is responsible for research and is to generate reports for the department and be able to engage strategically with other departments and also understand what are the threats and the opportunities for our entities. So on a continuous basis, we expect them on a monthly basis to generate reports in different sectors. The next slide talks to the allocation that we have as a department. You will note that in 2018-19, the budget for the department was 6.5 billion rand, but the 6.2 billion rand of that amount related to the transfers that were made to the to our two entities, South African Airways and South African Express. So the department budget is just around 300 million, averaging around 300 million over the next 3 years. As it stands, the part of the budget, the large part of the budget is spent under administration. Part of that is because of the work that will be done around the shareholder management bill, where you know the amount is likely to be done, and also include the office of the DG Wealth. Most of the work will be done. It is our intention to make sure that we move the composition of this expenditure towards the sector teams, where most of the work in terms of the analysis of the entities that report to us is done. So we are likely to see that trend changing from administration to business and enhancement and the SOC governance. The next two slides provide a detailed breakdown in terms of the how we spend the money. The 293 million this financial year in terms of compensation of employees, and we spent most of the money in goods and services, and including our office space. So the decrease in the budget is a result of the, this year we have not factored in any transfer to the state-owned companies. If there's going to be any adjustment to the budget in relation to the state-owned companies, it will also be reflected in our budget. But the budget for the department is around 300 million. We also provide progress report on the PC recommendation, portfolio committee recommendation, for the last in terms of the engagement that we have had with the portfolio committee. So these were the recommendations that we received for the portfolio committee, and we highlight the key interventions that the department has done, and we report on the progress. And we'll be happy to take the question related to the presentation. The detailed information is in the annual performance plan, and we are happy to take the questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No addition. Honourable Member, I don't know, let's just agree whether we will just ask questions in general or we will be going page by page, which I think is going to take a lot of time. I think by now we have been able to jot down some of the critical questions. There is the I know towards the end of the presentation, you tempted to rush there. Yeah, can we start to shoot, but not to kill, but to get the clarity, questions, and so on. Noted. Welcome, Honourable Mahara. I was wondering whether I heard you wrong when you were apologizing, but this is not supposed to be today. I'm happy that you are. Okay. Honorable Kwanase, I see you. Who else? the theory. Yeah, accordingly. Shabalala.
Thanks, Chair. My first question is on program one. That is, I think it's in slide 10. On the issue of government shareholder management goals to be adopted 2021-2022. I just want to find out whether is there any process that can shorten the process of adopting them. But also, is the department capable enough to make sure that the public participation towards the internal processes towards that being would be able to be released? Because my worry, Chair, and my complaint is, for me, if we can be managed to shorten the period for that, and that would be the core of the whole department, so that we'll be able to understand who's doing what and when and who's supposed to monitor. And we'll be able to talk to many recommendations as part of the recommendations that was referred to by the acting director at the back. So I just want to find out also our role as this portfolio committee. I think when we get in here at this administration through the chief, we said we are a parliament at work. So we need to make sure that whatever processes that needs to be shortened, we avail ourselves as members of parliament to make sure that whatever bills that we pass, they have a real impact on addressing the issues on the ground. Chair, I just want to check from you. Can I ask for my question?
Yeah.
Or must I do program by program?
Should.
Sure.
You might help other people do it. You might reduce other people's questions. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Chair. But my second question, but it's just, it's not a question though, but it's the progress on the okay, we really appreciate and acknowledge the department hotline. You said the establishment of an anti-fraud and corruption hotline. Mm-hmm. I think that must be appreciated. But when you talk about progress, I haven't seen maybe you don't detect the cases or issues that were dealt with and people that have really come to book and stuff, because we really have to bring hope to people out there to say whatever that went wrong or people that did wrong, they really find a space. And what is it that we've recovered as a government to those local wrongdoers? But when the deputy minister opened the meeting, he said it's not all doom and not all. Yes. Thank you. Chairperson, allow me to on slide 13, when we talk about audit findings, congratulate the department on their work there, but in particular congratulate the Black Excellence and congratulate one of the department, Ms. Nokubonga, if I get the right surname. If it's not the right surname, my apologies. Mm-hmm. I put the disclaimer there. I read somewhere that she's part of the department and she's part of the 200 young South African 2019. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to congratulate them. she's young, beautiful, of course, in them, really, it brings hope, it's inspiration that really our country is in good hands. we don't have all. That would be my take for now, Chairperson. Thank you.
The disadvantage of talking after somebody is a comment. As much as you mentioned that you should not have covered most of our questions, but nevertheless, we just have to speak. You know, you took most. Maybe let me start by welcoming the address or the political input by the DM to say you have highlighted a lot and acknowledging the challenges that you are sitting with as a department and the entities that you are overseeing. And in detailing that, the acting DG, maybe to check with you, DM, how far or how shorten of the speed that you're going to move with the plan to fill the vacancies, because indeed, as much as you acknowledged that there's acting, then we need to speed up so that everybody will take that responsibility. I think you can do the honor of just explaining what is it that you started and how far and when to conclude that process is most important. Secondly, in your presentation, subject to correction, but my thinking as a layman, without being a professional or an expert in your indicators on slide number 19 that you were presenting, it's on the year of 2019-20, you have mentioned under DINEL the report you're going to implement the DINEL restructuring plan and complete it. Then the following year is the same. Then my thinking is that why can't you say on 2021 it's a progress? Or is it a must for you or a standard to redo it on a yearly basis? Or it must be a progress in place? Or must we just vice versa? Then that one is subject to you as you are expert of that. But to my thinking, as a person who wants to speak up by a service deliver and make it a point, things does happen. Is it not possible to put it in, say, focus in the back? Then going to another question, we of course acknowledge the audit outcome through last year's and all the stuff, but now I believe it's your honest period where the audit functions, as you speak. I just wanted to get the highlight through the audit. Do you have a preliminary audit outcome so that we know are you still moving in the right direction based on your internal audit? Because when you get an external auditor, you've been audited internally, can you get the receipt inside? How far, what is it that you are looking forward to? You must not be surprised by the AG to say this time you have went back on that. Then you need to get the preliminary one. And Jefferson, allow us to come back because the department has got entities within and on a daily basis is needed. Newspapers, TVs, and they are here. We've got pending issues as you have highlighted. The chunk of your budget is going to SAE and SX. Therefore, going forward, or just a snap, the assurance, even though you speak of this structural plan, especially in demand, what is your plan to assure the public out there and South Africa in general that it's going to work? in terms of your general transport, Transnet and Eskom, so they are facing major challenges, and you have acknowledged GM. Just to give a bite, and I'm sure I ask members to say, this is expected to be sent, it's going to be fine. I hope, of course, it's going to be fine. Thanks, Chair, and allow me to come late.
Okay.
I hope you won't come back after I finish. And I hope I also don't take too long and you more patient with myself, because we meant to really engage the entire department, and especially ask questions on the status of the entity. Look, DG, acting DG, or thank you again for the political overview. I think you are, you take us to expected things, or rather priorities, that you'll be looking at the ministry, and we're looking forward to see you doing and getting your hands dirty and really doing what you can in terms of your responsibility, and good luck. You mentioned the DG, SOC's Council. I want to know the role and the responsibility, because you mentioned that already it's established and that you've appointed a person there. And at what level you would have appointed a person, and if the budget for that functionality, that one. I'm going to go to the pensioners issue. We noticed that you spend lots of money on litigation on the pension. Is there a strategy for this to be avoided, especially on the litigation, to it monitoring checks and balances to do that? We've noted lots of challenges when it comes to your employment equity, specifically on the issue of disability. You look at your trends from 2015, things went very fast. You're at 2.4%, you progress 1.7%. We want to know, is there a way that you're going to mitigate that? And part of the reason you mentioned that is because of you not spending in 4-5 organization. And throughout the HR, and I hope the HR person will be in a position to respond, when you look at your trends, you are really low in 4-5 killing off vacancies across the board. I would want to find out what is the strategy for that on filling out vacancies. But also, if you can give us a picture, CPG or acting CPG, that what is the acting appointment in the department itself at a national level, especially key strategic position, if you can just get an indication, so that we're able to gauge what is the management. Because we noted also in Transnet, we made a rider that part of why Transnet is in this situation is because you're not filling out the vacancies and key strategic vacancies. So I want to know what is this acting, and if you can give us an indication, when are you planning to fill those critical vacancies? And primarily also because part of your expenditure explains that, especially on compensation, you have not been spending. In fact, you've underspent, if not 50%, you're correct, but that's what I've read in your APP. Part of the draft legislation, you mentioned, and I think my colleague spoke about the management bill, I would just want to get an indication about legislation to be tabled 2019. You know it's going to be a short year. So by when do you already, can you give time, it might not be time, but specific info for the big parliament, as you know that this day will be a short indication. So you just don't put things. So if you can get your person there who can tell us your legislative development, if you have, that has been approved by the leader of government business, what does it look like for 2019? And the SO, the board members, have they declared their interest? I'm interested to know that. And is there any conflict of interest that you found out, but primarily to protect and credibility of the institution?
Okay.
would like to find out what was the department's expenditure without transfer to SOC for 2018-19? Which unit spent less than 50% on goods and services in the budget for your APP? So can we find out which units have done that? How are you working with HR to ensure units are held accountable for spending less than 50% on goods and services? Second but not the last, the president has announced the issue of ESCOM. And I'm going to put it blankly. Some billion. I don't want to mention the amounts, you mentioned them, but I'm not quoted from them. I'm not going to quote the president from. What is the bailout? If they bail out, if they eat, because there was a mention until August, so we want to know we're going to keep the lights open until August. And what happens after GFS transition? And do we have a way that we can to ensure that ESCOM is able to finance its debt, not only finance it, but to be able to service its debt, to have a turnaround strategy around that? And while I'm on the platform of ESCOM, you acknowledge that your public rights and our responsibility is to state matters that are coming from our communities that affect it. We've got, and we understand that ESCOM is not in a position to rather get its customers to pay, especially areas like Soweto. And I understand that perhaps you need about, is it 40 billion? If it's not 40 million, you correct me, that ESCOM needs to recover from its residents, specifically in Soweto, as well as in Soweto. And now, that's a huge chunk of amount that can really assist ESCOM. But that said, you also acknowledge the fact that those people are living in dire, impoverished areas, and mostly those communities are destitute. And you know the historical issue, DM, around how residents and the issue of unemployment there. Now, you've got these mini statistics that tend to come that they vandalism and crime and all of that, that are not, as ESCOM doesn't seem to have appetite to service. Specifically, I'm going to give you a case in Soweto, and Mulezani Sandi Naledi, that residents have been without electricity DM for the last past 4 weeks. They've been going to the municipality, of course, and going to ESCOM and marching endlessly. They have rather given a solution in terms of them, they would tell me it is viable, that they would want to pay a flat rate of 150 whatever, according to what they can afford. They're not saying they cannot pay, they say they're willing to pay, however the exorbitant amount is going high. So I'm just asking, in this instance, do we have a way how we can ensure that we still do keep the lights open, not only for business, but also for destitute families and homes? Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think all of us, we come from we tell ourselves that we are Christians. But at times, it's very difficult for us, a church minister, to go back to a sinner and then begin to remind him or her of the things that person would have done. But I'm tempted here to ask, it's a question in fact, I'd like us to start on the basics. Because there is a belief that if you buy a new broom, it will obviously sweep clean. We are coming here as new agents. We want to help turn around the situation. Which situation many of us, when we're not here, we're told of things, whether those things are still there, not there. But it looks as if the presentation that is given to us now, it looks as if those loose bolts have now been tightened. I will concur if we want to say that we want to start from the clean slate, I will concur that let's get our house in order. Let's get to confirm the appointments that are there. I know I've been a worker before. I wouldn't like to work in an environment where I'm still acting or I'm temporary, if many others will say I'm temporary. You'll find many other people on the streets because they want to get permanent or on the position that they are occupying. I want us to say that, okay, let's make sure, perhaps you will give us the time frame that when can we get all those people that are acting to be permanent in the position they are acting on. And secondly, you know, I just want to find this magic, because it appears magical that now things seem to be flowing very well. What is this magic we have put to make things to begin to go back to the right direction and the things that in fact we are beginning to look for? What happened in the past? The things that happened in the past, how can they be avoided? I'm happy that there will be a strategic planning, hoping that some of the things will be addressed to make sure that such occurrences don't reach us again, because we really want to move. Seated here, were all of us the change agents. When I leave Parliament, I want to pride myself and say, these are the things that I have done, and we went there and we changed the situation, and the situation has become better. You know, I'm much more general here, because I don't want to deal with specifics. I want to believe that if we want to do things and do them better, let's make sure that we pave our way, we clean the battlefield, so that at least we move with a common understanding. All what I'm trying to say, the experiences that has been there in the past, what is it that we have done to make sure that things are improving? That's one. Two, can we find ourselves falling into this very same pitfall? What measures do we have to make sure that we don't repeat or we don't get into the similar situation in the past? I know that, because if I may ask a question, whose responsibility was it in the past that has led us into this trouble? You know, we are to play an oversight role. The predecessors, our predecessors, are we saying they didn't do the oversight correctly? Was the minister then responsible for the situation? Were the SOCs responsible for all that? Some other people who would have done wrong, have they been spoken about? I know that we've got a saying that says the person is proven wrong once there are processes that are followed. But I want to know, because I'm coming here for the first time, that in fact, are we ready to make sure that all the storm that may face us, we are in a position to face them, fight them, but at the same time be in a position to move forward? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. In this department, in this area, in the department, is this a head of department between the board members at that time? Because we heard all the time that the board members are changing the board members. Is this going to help the department to change the board members all the time? And what is the plan to improve the financial, in financial, a weak balance sheet, all these challenges in the financial? And what is the plan?
Thank you, Honorable. Honorable Mazo. Mazo.
The last
one.
The last
one.
Thank you very much for your input. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, thank you, and thank you to Public Enterprise. I'm not sure if you're happy or if you sigh a great deal of not you again. But here we are, and we're back together. The chairperson did indicate yesterday that he was very happy that there was someone on the committee that had longevity. And Chair, I want to assure you that the way I operate in this committee is I see us very much as continuing being Team One South Africa. I think that we showed the country exactly what could happen if we buckle down and work as one unit to protect all South Africans. And I most certainly have every intention to continue in the manner in which I think aided and assisted South Africa in the best possible way as we did before. Chair, there have been some developments over the years in the Department of Public Enterprises which would have gone a very long way to ensure that we had never reached the state of capture that we did. Because I think that it must be said that this committee is known as the Committee of State Capture, because we deal with the entities that were most closely associated with what we now know was the beast of state capture that tried to steal money from every South African and siphon it to rich and influential families. And Chair, one of the reasons that this was able to happen was because the level of oversight that we were allowed to do as a committee was very hampered. And if I may, I'll give you by way of an example. As a committee, we would go and visit ESCOM, and we would go to Megawatt Park, and we would sit in the boardroom of Megawatt Park, and board members, those of whom were around, would come and they would sit before us, and they would say, well, this is Megawatt Park, this is how many employees we have, this is our middle management, this is the way the board structure works, this is, you know, where our coal deposits are. They'd give us a very brief outline of what was going on. And then, Chair, quite bizarrely, we would be taken on a walk to show us what Megawatt Park looked like. I can now tell you I know exactly what Megawatt Park looks like, and I will never have to go on another walk around Megawatt Park. Because the deflection from what was actually happening within the entity was almost too much to bear. And the same goes with Denel. Chair, you will find that you will be taken to Denel in Pretoria, in Irene, and you will be taken on a walk of what Denel Irene looks like, and you might be shown maybe a hangar that has a few young engineers working in the hangar who are a part of a program that Denel has to educate the youth. And we'll all look at the three young people standing there and go, oh, this is very impressive. But what they won't tell us is that the NOL doesn't have enough money at the end of the month to pay the salary, and that the minister has to intervene to ensure that a loan is obtained, and that the contents of that loan are still unknown to this committee. So, Chairperson, what I'm saying might sound brash and it might sound defensive, but Chair, I have to be brash and I have to be defensive. Because Deputy Judge, Chief Justice Raymond Zondo has instructed us that if we don't execute our oversight role correctly and robustly and force the entities to show us what's going on, we will be infringement of our constitution. And we have just taken our oath of office. And it's a criminal offence for us not to do that. So, Chairperson, my first port of call will be to the Department of Public Enterprises to say, well, I know that in many instances our hands are somewhat tied because the boards have their own memorandum of association that they operate with and within. We must force the departments to come and tell us the ugly truths that have been hidden from us for so many years. And Chairperson, in light of that, I wrote to Minister Pravin Gordhan and I asked for a strategic review to be done of the state-owned entities. And I got a response that's not marked confidential, and it was sent to various people, so I know that it's not a confidential document, and I'd like to read you one of the paragraphs, because I think it's important for us to note. And Minister Gordhan writes, in addition, Cabinet endorsed the principle of the separation of the policy-making and shareholder functions performed by the state, while requiring that there was adequate alignment of the state-owned entity operations with the sector policies. This will inform the development of overreaching legislation governing state-owned entities, as has been recommended by the PRC. Now, the PRC was a review of the Department of Public Enterprise. The chairperson started in 2010. We have every year, every start of a parliament, we get a copy of the PRC. And Chair, we have yet to have a committee to engage robustly with this document and with how it can be used with our state-owned entity. Now, Chair, we are the voice of the people. We are the, all of us here have been elected by thousands of South Africans. There are only 400 members of parliament to speak on behalf of 57 million South Africans. So the fact that the minister refers to this document that we as a committee have still not been able to engage with is disturbing. And the acting DGs will tell you that the reason for this was because every time a DG came in, either in an acting position or in the very unlikely event of being permanently given the position, they would last for 6 or 7 months until they gathered too much information and were posing a threat to state capture, and they would be swapped. And that is the harsh reality that we must face, is that when people were willing to stand up and fight state capture, they were systematically set aside. So we have to fight to make sure that those who now represent this department are kept in their place so that they can help us hold their entities to account. And I'm going to fight for you to stay in your place. Because every time I had one of your predecessors on the cold, someone came and removed it. So the grilling was medium rare, and that's not how I eat my meat, Chairperson. So this time, I want a well-done board that we can interrogate correctly, and a well-done department. And Chair, the board laughs because I have sung this song many times. But there has been no continuity, and I have to assume that it's been done deliberately. So Chair, I hope that changes. Chair, I think what this committee needs to absolutely fight for with every might and every vein of our being is that lifestyle audits are conducted immediately, without exception, on every single board member of every one of the state-owned entities that we oversee. And Chairperson, I would go so far as to say that lifestyle audits should extend to every member of this committee, because we exercise oversight duty on these entities, and every single member and DG of public enterprises. Because if we are going to be the custodians and the fighters against state capture, we too have to prove by our own jobs that we are not captured in any way. And I'm quite happy to do so, and I'm sure that everyone on this committee would be happy to do so. Because we are the last line of defense when it comes to protecting South African money. Chair, I've read through the presentation, and I'm terribly sorry, but we got this presentation very late. But the risk assessments are nowhere where they should be. They're a step in the right direction, but they still leave a lot to be desired. And I think if Deputy Justice Chief Zondo had a look at what we're being offered today, he would have a giggle, and he would say to us quite blatantly, are you actually watching the Zondo Commission? Are you watching what people are telling us every single day? Because, Chair, my mouth is hung open this week, because we all know what people are saying has been said in this committee. We have heard it firsthand in this committee. And now they are repeating it to Judge Zondo, and the whole country is going, how could this happen? It happened because the risk assessment tools that were in the Department of Public Enterprises were inadequate, and certainly the risk assessment tools that were in the public in the actual state-owned companies were completely inadequate. And Chair, when the departments finally do come and they approach us, which they will, and they'll tell us we need an upfront movement of money, and we need a change of money to go from Alex Court to Danelle, because Danelle can't pay the salary. Chairperson, we are going to fight to get the reason why Danelle can't fight the salary. And it's frustrating, and it's hard, and there will be people in Parliament who will try and block us, Chairperson. And we fight, and we fight back hard. That is why this committee is known as Team One South Africa, because we fight united against those who try to steal from South Africa. Chair, the Eskom Soweto arrangement and deal has been an ongoing battle in this committee for, as I can remember now, 9 years. This committee, as a committee, has been twice to Soweto, where we've met the arrangements. And I'll tell you what the most frightening thing was. When pensioners, because they were the people who came to see us because they don't work anymore, and they were able to come to one of our oversight meetings. In Orlando East, we had it in the community hall. And they said to us, we are the people who are willing to pay our electricity accounts. And then we were taken to a pensioner's home. And she showed me how she bought 100 rand of electricity, and when she loaded it on her machine, 84 rand of electricity appeared on her machine, and her basic service grant didn't load, which she was entitled to. So not only had she taken 100 rand from her meager pension, but of that 100 rand, 84 loaded, and she didn't get her basic service grant. And members of Eskom and public enterprises were with us, and they said that they would rectify the problem. We went back a year later, only to find that 84 rand had gone down to 78 rand, and that the service grant had not been loaded onto the card. So these are not issues that are unknown to us, Chairperson. And these are issues that we as a committee must now decide. And we have to tell the department, frankly, are we going to fight this together, or are we going to fight you on the road? And fight you we will, because the people of South Africa have said it goes this far and no further. We are the last line of defence. Chair, have a look closely at this presentation. And nothing is mentioned about loans. Nothing is mentioned about from whom the loans come. And let me preempt the answer, Chairperson, because I don't want to get our department into trouble. The answer is going to be the commercial sensitivity of these loans rests with the accounting offices of the state-owned entity. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And let me tell you what will happen, Chair. The Department of Public Enterprises won't be able to execute their oversight because the state-owned entity will tell them it's commercially sensitive. And the fighters sitting in this room, and by fighters I mean the fighters on behalf of South Africans, who fight as the last line of defence against that capture, will have to hire and have to go to court and have to lay charges against these entities' chief financial officers to find out exactly what the commercially sensitive information is. Because what we do know is this, that money that belongs to state-owned entities belongs to all South Africans. It's not a private company. You don't enjoy the rights of a private company. It's South African money. And we as a committee have a responsibility to guard that money. Because what happens is, every time SAA or Danel or Eskom ask for a bailout, it takes money from a department that should be providing electricity or should be providing housing or education or building clinics. It takes money away from that entity and it feeds money into an entity that obviously has lost control and lost financial ability to control its entity. So Chair, I paint a pretty dire picture, I realise. But I feel it's my obligation to speak very frankly and very honestly and hold no punches. Because Chair, I'm punch drunk at the amount of times that I've received a left hook from one of the state-owned entities when they ask for a bailout. Every time I fill up with petrol, every time I pay that extra percent VAT, it's a left hook. And it's not only me, Chair. It's every South African. We punch drunk. And it almost drops me. But I'll tell you something, my honourable colleague. They tried to drop me many times. And I bounced back. And we as South Africans bounce back. But we have to collectively bounce back now. And say, the straw that broke the camel's back has been laid. It goes on no more. And Chair, the only way we do that is if we demand. And the Department of Public Enterprises can now warn the entity, and the minister can now warn the entity, that they must come here. We're not going to them. We're not going for a walkabout at Megawatt Park. They must come here. And we must know what caused Phakamane Kadebe to have to resign because of ill health. What causes SAA to turn around to us and say, there's no money to pay for jet fuel, there's no money to pay salaries. 4 billion rand, otherwise we can't do our usual route. What causes the minister, on the day of the SONA response, to have to negotiate a financial deal so that Denel pays their salaries at the end of the month? And Chairperson, I warn you, you will have pushback the like of which you cannot begin to imagine, because you're doing your job. And your job is to stand firm and to steel your resolve. And when you are told, which you will be told, don't let the committee sit, don't call the entity, your resolve and your bravery will have to answer. My job is first and foremost to execute what Deputy Judge Raymond Zondo has told me to do, which is to safeguard the coffers of the South Africans. So Chair, this presentation tells me absolutely nothing I didn't already know. Everything in this presentation I have seen in one incarnation or another. Because every year, and I mean no disrespect, the department knows me well enough, Chair, to know, I mean no disrespect. I know the position that they're in. Because I have fought alongside them trying to fight state capture. And I know that they are blocked and they will answer you, Chair. They will answer me and they will tell you how many times I have tried to unlock the handcuffs that they find themselves in. Chair, when these members were appointed as acting, this committee fought the hardest to have them appointed on a full-time basis. Because uncertainty in the board means how do you risk everything? Because, Chair, there are members sitting here who I know have risked everything to fight for South Africans. Because once you've been on this particular public enterprises committee board and you're a fighter, you kiss your chances goodbye anywhere else because they have to fight with everything in their being to get this information. So we have brave and patriotic South Africans sitting opposite us who just cannot get appointed full time. They remain active because they pose the biggest threat to those who try to steal our country. And Chair, with that, I will leave.
Thank you, Honourable. Is there any other person to... before I give to the
Honourable Gutierrez.
I've listened to my colleagues here. On page 5 of the presentation, where they talk about the challenges by internal standards, the international standard court, first bulletin there speaks to weak, inexperienced, and compromised board members of management. And then when they talk about their intervention with regard to that, they speak of appointing individuals of integrity to a transparent process. If they can talk more to that, because to me it doesn't help me, because if the person says that this appointment of these boards and management does not have integrity, then the outcome will be obvious to say you won't get people of integrity there. So where will the cracks in the process, and what exactly that they think needs to be done to make sure that the process gives such kind of individuals who say must be transparent, for me it's not enough.
My last take, but before I give to, I've forgotten that I'm also a member of this. I don't just give people. Though I mean, I'm feeling like in a workshop, questions are also empowering.
Yeah.
But I just want there's a straightforward answer in this one to the department.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Can we be assured in this committee that in all these entities we have boards that are efficient with non-corrupt individuals? I know you won't be able to be 100% sure individual changes in the process, but we have just credible boards all over these entities, not temporarily just boards, official. Secondly, do we have a list of cases that have already referred to the law enforcement agencies? If you can perhaps provide us with that information, so many people, these Kaya Makaka case of doing this and this is on that list, and so on, so that we are in a position to know when these processes are dealt with. The other question is, I know for a fact that I listened to the Zondo Commission and the Akul get a feeling that we have lost a lot of capable professionals. Some of them, due to their situation that happened to be beyond their control, in the sense that one is forced by a superior individual to do wrong things. Those perhaps are victims. They might not be referable. But there are those who have been fired and lost their job due to their refusal and resisting to act. Do we have a provision for those people? Because we might have a problem of skilled people who lost jobs, whom we still need. Do we have a provision for those kind of individuals? Another question now is in relation to this remuneration problem of the people in, because I know this date enterprise are one of the lucrative salaries, some are even above even the department. Do we have a process of standardizing this state owned enterprise's salaries and for boards and executives there as a department? I know it's not impossible to do. If there is, how far, okay, the process to do that, how far are we dealing with that situation? My last one, I know salaries of the executive are very high, and the workers at the ordinary level who are on the first line to be retrenched and the victims of this. How do we deal with that situation? How do we try to narrow the gap? Because the people on the lower level are always the victim of all these processes that are above their heads. My on a lighter note on the lifestyle audit, which I support very well, I would like also that lifestyle audit to also look at the people who they are paid well, like me, but living a very poor life, was of the consequences, the social economic background that continue haunting me, confining me in the township where I was born until at this age. Perhaps to my fellow people, we can come up with a way of maybe helping me out of
it.
Yes, I've got a very good account, but unfortunately,
it cannot take me from this poverty situation. How do we deal with those people? Well, I think those are the people who are victims of this gate capture, you know. Yeah, they end up being tempted to, yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Chair, I don't think that I should be perhaps saying this. I don't know the processes or procedures understanding the discussions here. There are quite a lot of recommendations in the same department.
Yeah.
There are quite a lot of which in fact need to be highlighted already. You have gone into a church and agreed that you are in for an audit, lifestyle audit, right? Is there a decision, because now there's the chair, that binds us all, or still to be discussed at a later stage? You know, these are the things that I'm saying, that in fact there are good things that have been said here. When do they come back as a kind of a decision, and we all understand that yes, it's a decision taken and we must follow it? So I know that many of us who are new, somewhere when it goes into the sausage machine, and then we find it. But may we be enlightened that the good things that have been said here, when next do we get hold of them? When do we put them into action? So that we know that these things are happening and we're sure they're happening. You guide us, Chair.
But on page 26, there is something that is straightforward in relation to that. The progress report on the portfolio committee recommendation, and it's stipulated there, and they also mentioned their intervention and the progress. I think we'll continue having areas like this. They will be guiding us. And also we do have also other committee members who have been here. If the recommendation of the portfolio committee is not here, and they will help us in terms of no, this committee 2018 said this to the department. Therefore, they can take the department. We can be able to take the department into task about that. Yeah. I think this committee is a continuation, as the Honourable Monzo said. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I know that I've spoken. Just a quick one. I would like to find out were there any elements and rollovers for doing your assessment for 2017-18 in any program. Thank you.
Okay. Can we now give the Deputy Minister and the Department accordingly?
No, thank you, Chair. I was getting a bit anxious or worried that we don't get drowned in both the questions as well as the comments that have been made here.
You have to absorb all this.
No, we have to keep to the letter what has been said, and at times it's not the questions, but it is just the statement. I wish, Chair, first to say that the committee must be assured that as the department, we would be together with the committee in first seeking to ensure that our state-owned entities live up to their mandate, and that they are effective, efficient in the discharge of such a mandate. And as the department, we would spare no effort in trying to really position the department to be able to provide that assurance. In the wisdom of the committee, we had been shared a program, and I want to just put across not a request as such, but just to alert the Honourable Committee to the fact that there is a proposal already that the department comes before the committee to report on the interventions and progress in respect of the state-owned companies, wherein the issues to do with the efforts at stabilizing these, the effectiveness of boards, etc., is already a matter that is on the agenda. Perhaps also it could help, and I'm sure the minister would himself also be present in that, I think to the benefit of the committee as well, to have the minister present. So my plea would be, why shouldn't we use that occasion to deal with some of the elements that speak to the overall state of well-being of these entities as per decision already taken. So instead of speaking to this in a piecemeal fashion, elsewhere it would be, we already have this coming, so we shouldn't anticipate it before it is actually presented to us. Let's have it presented so that we discuss it at the time. I'm just putting it before the Honourable Committee that could we not agree to that? It serves also the function of making sure that when we undertake that exercise, we would do so also with the presence of the minister. I'm not suggesting I'm not as competent to deal with the matters now, but I think it would do much more for the committee if the minister was there. And in this instance, there's already a date set for that. Secondly, Chair, is I think there are questions to do with the presidential, the recommendations flowing from the Presidential Review Commission. And I've taken note of the comments that have been made here in that regard. And with the Minister, the progress in respect of that has been the implementation of the recommendations of that Review Commission, for which there's a number of recommendations, and they are specific to different ministries, but to public enterprises specifically, we have sought to have progress in respect to issues to do with the appointment of boards, the processes underpinning that, the issues to do with the appointment of the CEOs and the management echelons within the state-owned enterprises. Of course, also the remuneration policy. There has been measures almost agreed to by Cabinet in respect of how should those be approached. I think where I should concede, it's something that we should look at, really upping the tempo, the pace, as it is said, is in respect of the process of the bill. The shareholder management bill, I think to the extent it is in the program but anticipated over a bit longer time, I think it's something that we should take back as the department to look at whether we wouldn't achieve that in a much shortened period than anticipated, to deal with that, because I think with it there could and there will be a lot more assurance given in terms of what is expected, what is the nature that government has, the relationship that the different state entities have to one another right across. Chair, short of saying the nature of the question, some of them are really specific, which require specific answers, but others are more in the realm of the policy and political leadership over the over the process itself. I'm sure the DG also and the team have been taking note of some of the things. They will be able to speak to them, the details about the audits, etc. Again, one of the recommendations out of that process was the establishment of the council, the SOE Council. The then Deputy President, now President, was chair of that, and it has now reverted back to the President to chair that council. I think as the department, we are working as the secretariat of that council to have it convened because a lot more other things will flow from there in terms of the overall strategic direction that government is pursuing in respect of all the SOCs, which of them need their mandate revised, which of them need to be done away with if circumstances require so, which new ones need to be born out of the process. That's going to be the function of that council, and I think we're working hard to have it before this the quarter ending in September concludes that there would have been that council meeting sitting. The composition thereof is what was in the process of being finalized, and again we can only do as much to get the president to then confirm, and then the council sits and everything else will flow from there. I think even the expediting this shareholder management bill will get enhancement from that process. Much of what I heard here, Honourable Chair, with respect, and again taking nothing from Honourable Mazwane, I think relates to how the committee may want to, once we're all on the same wavelength about what as the committee we would be doing. Once such convergence has been reached, then it will be underpinning the way the committee interacts with the oversight responsibility it has. We are of the same mind that corruption, malfeasance must be rooted out wherever it manifests itself. And to the extent that there has been weaknesses in terms of oversight on the part of the department, I don't imagine there would be an attempt to curtail the effectiveness of the committee in its oversight responsibility generally. So I think these are areas for which I'm sure as we evolve and nurture the working relationship between ourselves, sharing the same perspectives, as I think it is predominantly the platform, we will be able to see some of the changes we expect here. With your permission, Chair, the DG and the team may pick up on some of the other issues.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Deputy Minister. So we accept and acknowledge that we need to fast track the finalization of the shareholder management bill, concur with the Deputy Minister. In terms of the anti-fraud and corruption hotline, the visibility in terms of the progress and the cases, we will be available the information, the number of incidents that we have received, and be able to report on that. We welcome the comment on Noku Bongwa. We are also pleased that she made the top 200 young people in South Africa. With regard to the filling of the vacancies, given that the reconfiguration of government has been done and the department continue in its current form, I think the minister will start with the process of filling the position of the Director General, and also we make sure that we fill the positions of the senior managers in the department. Most of my colleagues have been active for a long period of time, and I think now that there's a certainty around the department, we should be able to fill those vacancies. So we should be seeing adverts going out, and we'll welcome CVs. Please encourage South Africans to apply for this position. During the process of when we were waiting on the reconfiguration of government, there were some critical positions that we have gone ahead and interviewed people in anticipation that even if the department had changed in form, we still have required those positions. But this was more about the position that requires, for instance, like the internal audit functions and all those. So we have gone ahead and dealt with those. The senior management position, the filling of those positions, the minister should be able to lead in that regard.
The report on the implementation of the denial restructuring, we welcome the suggestions. We'll use the suggestions to improve our annual performance plan, and we welcome that. With regard also to the improvement to the annual performance plans, we welcome the suggestions, particularly that came from Honorable Member Manzoni. Probably we need an indicator that talks about disclosing information. We'll have to think about how do we craft that that kind of indicator, and making sure that all this information that is available, and particularly reporting to the committee. One of the interesting things about our APP talks about the work that the department does, but we don't make any reference to our engagement with the committees and what information is available. As we revise the APP, we'll make sure that we reflect our interaction with the committees and what kind of information, how often the committee, we need to come and engage the committee. I think what is important is that today we're tabling the annual performance plan. There is a process of adopting the new medium-term strategic framework in government, which will inform the work of government for the next 5 years. Once it's adopted, we'll review. This work we have done before the end of the fifth administration period. So given that now we are in the sixth administration, once that medium-term strategic framework is concluded, we'll revise our strategic plan and be able to include the suggestions that we have received today.
Just before that, I think there's been a matter, I think, very sensitive on respect to Soweto and the matters of, well, of course, it's a very specific matter, but if seen in the context of overall the challenges that the entity has, there has to be an effort at getting consumers to pay. There's got to be efforts to get, of course, fixing of substations and all of that, of course, has to be done in order to ensure the sustainability and reliability of supply. And again, I think some of the things overall, and I was quite happy when we were beginning to say that even these bailouts, it's still coming out of the public purse to have to sacrifice other things in order to give to these entities. In this instance, I think the president has really issued the call that we should, our municipalities, individual consumers, all should be encouraged to pay so that there is a recovery for that which is generated and distributed to the consumers. I think in respect of this particular matter, I know that it is currently being considered, and it may not be worth then speaking to a matter here and now when in fact it's being dealt with together with ESCOM as to finding a workable solution around that. From the point of view of the department, we would want to follow it up so that there is a conclusion, but also somewhat that a conclusion, a solution that does not mean that ESCOM should continue providing for that which there is no collection for. I think somewhat a workable arrangement must be made there. It could be that there could be commitments to say that we're prepared to put forward this much as was indicated here, and that then we've got to look at how we deal with the baggage in terms of debt that comes from a number of years, but also ensuring that going forward there isn't a new debt that is built up in terms of making sure that we really have a viable entity out there. I think it's the municipalities themselves have been urged to pay. I'm sure the same matter is going to be visiting those municipalities in respect of other communities that are affected in the same way.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. With regard to the audit outcomes, we are currently in the process of being audited to conclude the financials and also to conclude the annual the annual report. We'll table the findings of the both internal and external auditors. This will be done at the end of this month, and I think we'll find a date to come and present the audit findings to the committee. If we can share the internal audit reports, particularly was used by the external auditors to give assurance that the department is adhering to all the compliance and legislative requirements. So we'll make it that available. We'll follow up with the secretary and make sure we submit this report. On the question of assurance, DM, the reason why we always make sure that we highlight the challenges that are faced by these companies that are under our responsibility is to highlight the fact that there are challenges and it's going to take a while to resolve this issue. As an example to give on SAA, SAA got a legacy debt of around 16 billion rand. Unless we fundamentally deal with that, the business will not be able to continue to operate in a sustainable manner. As we speak today, the business is not able to service or to repay that debt. And that is the fundamental issue that we need to resolve as a the business model. The question is that what are the business models that SAA is having today, whether it's still fit for purpose or still respond to the current environment. And this is the recommendation that we have done some work and we are making those recommendations to the SOC Council, which will inform Cabinet and Cabinet can make decision around the aviation strategy. We have made proposal and put those proposals in the table. Most of these entities, whether it's DNL, SAX, SAA, and ESCOM in particular, we have to deal with the legacy debt. The reason why we're talking about the challenges at ESCOM is because ESCOM has accumulated a significant amount of debt, and as we speak today, the business is not able to save this and repay that debt. It continues to generate revenue, but the cost structure of the businesses, these four businesses that I've talked about, makes it difficult for these businesses to fulfill its mandate. So the announcement that by the president in the State of the Nation address, and also followed by the minister, and also talking about the turnaround of ESCOM, talks to these issues. We have to deal with the challenges around the operational structure of ESCOM, the cost structure, and also deal with the fact that there's this huge debt that ESCOM cannot afford to repay. We have taken the committee through how did we end up in this situation. So we have presented that presentation. It is we have been honest, clear, and open about how did the business end up in the situation like this. The question is that how do we resolve that issue? It's not an easy solution that is on the table. There are a number of proposals that are on the table that are considered to resolve the issue. The question on the status of the entities, part of the when we come to talk about give feedback to the committee, we also talk about the status of the entities. We also talk about the risk. We will also continue to look at the risk assessment to make sure that we consider all the issues and we reflect the challenges that are there in the entity. So when we come and present on the status of our entities, which I think is going to be part of the next meeting, will also reflect on the challenges, which is sometimes referred to as the challenges, but we can also talk about the status of the entities, whether we think what needs to be done to these entities to continue to exist as a going concern.
Um, Thank you, DG. I'll answer the question around the remuneration. There was a question asked whether we have a process to standardize remuneration. So in the cabinet has approved a guideline in terms of how we remunerate the executives and boards in government, which takes into account the size of the entities, the sectors in which they operate, their level of revenues and asset base, to give guidance to the level at which entities must be remunerated. But most importantly, the primary reason why that guideline had to be approved was to provide a linkage between performance of entities and executive remuneration. So historically, there was no strong link between how an entity performed in its shareholder compact with the board and how the executives will be remunerated. So we have now put in gatekeepers, which include that you must at least achieve 80% of compact, you must have a clean audit before we can talk about incentive payout. So that's the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps what would be useful for a committee with new members is that when we do that presentation again on the governance progress, to provide you with the governance framework that we use with the entities. And it would also give us an opportunity to perhaps have that reflection around the governance cracks or the risk failures as we are seeing them with the some of the things that we are seeing in the commission, and to give the committee assurance of whether we have reflected sufficiently about how we've ended up with some of the issues that we've ended up with.
So the point on the recruitment of people with disability, we as a parliament accept that the over the last 3 years we have not recruited anyone, any person of with disability, and it's one of those areas that we look into, given that just to make sure that we also respond to that. So we acknowledge that for the last 3 years we have not been able to. But as we make and we continue to fill these vacancies, in our advert to make sure that we make that requirement clear, because all the advertisement that comes from the department needs to make clear that the preference will be given to people with disabilities. So we make sure that as we advertise, that is reflected clear. With regards to understanding on compensation, yes, what is likely to be reflected in the annual report that will table to this committee is that we are likely to have underspend in terms of compensation because of the vacancies, because we have not been filling those vacancies. But also that in terms of goods and services, given what we have budgeted for, last year we have gone through the list of the goods and services that we wanted to acquire, and we have decided in most respect not to to go ahead because they were not going to add any value to the department. So there are a number of services that we have put in the budget, and when I look at it, and particularly when I joined the department, I have said to the team, unless we are going to get the value from those services, there will be no need for us to spend money on. So part of the underspending might be revisit or reviewing our expenditures in goods and services, and that we didn't go ahead because we felt that there's no need for to spend money on that because we're not going to add value to the department. With regards to the board, if we hold AGMs with all our companies on an annual basis, and the members of the board declare their conflict of interest, or they declare their interest. So we use that occasion to declare. So as they will be presenting annual report to the minister before they are tabled them here, and we have our AGM with them, also we'll use the occasion for the members to declare their interest. ESCOM, I think we have spoken to the issues around ESCOM and the challenges that the entity is having. And the Deputy Minister has spoken about the lies on in Soweto and the fact that the municipalities owe ESCOM almost Soweto owns Soweto, Eskom about 18 billion rand, and other municipalities also Eskom equivalent of around more than 12 billion rand. And that needs to be, as an entity, Eskom needs that money, and we need to make sure that the consumers pay for that. So I endorse the comments that the Deputy Minister has made. The acting roles, we acknowledge that the department cannot continue with acting. Also, I think the officials who occupy this position also they need certainty about their roles, particularly they've been acting for a while. So we'll go ahead and making sure that we fill the position and making sure that we have a structure that is able to respond to the role that we expected to play. Does the department change board members all the time, and what is your plan? Every time at the time of the AGM, that's the opportunity for the minister to have a review of the board, and we spend some time where we have put the framework that is used to evaluate the board, and that is the occasion where the minister uses to rotate or to keep the board members. You will acknowledge that the current boards in the five of our entities are relatively new, and they've been appointed for a period of 3 years. So, but we'll use the next AGM, which will be, most of them will be the first AGM or second AGM, to review the performance of the board and look at the vacancies and making sure that we fill those cases on the board. We accept the risk assessment tools, and we will look into them and making sure that they respond to the challenges that we or the information that we are getting out of the commission, and making sure that the department also is positioned to be able to respond to those issues. Lifestyle audit for the department, we continue to do financial declaration, and based on that, I think we can get the sense of what's happening with the officials in the department. I think if the department's officials are subjected to lifestyle audit, that should be okay. I don't think there's a problem with that.
Just to comment that the lifestyle audit framework is developed by the Department of Public Services. So after the implementation of that, that's when the standardization on how lifestyle audits are done for respective board members, officials, and so forth. Will sort of be streamlined, and moving forward those will take place. But just that DG was focusing on some high level things, and I think we must also answer some questions on violence and rollovers. The department did not have that. So we'll see on that. In terms of sort of a preliminary indication on where the department will probably do, must say we've had a good audit here, and so the department is concerned. I think there are just only two matters that we had, but those are still thrashing out the AGSA, so we're most likely to get a good audit finding. And Meva also asked about the implementation of the Denel plans and why it's repeated in the two financial years. The reason is that not everything could be done in because of the diverse and unfortunate issues that the SOC is under, and so it will then take at least the medium term period, which is the 3 years or so, to correct to that. In terms of the hotline, there are colleagues who are dedicated in terms of tracking the progress on the hotline, and I think if the committee would like a view on that, perhaps the department would make that one available. But I think that would be from our part.
Thank
Yeah. You're still on SED?
I've seen some of the questions repeated themselves. The issues of the salaries of the executive. I think the remuneration standard that has been adopted by cabinet, were meant to deal with this. We have benchmarked the entities, and also making sure that we benchmark the remuneration of the directors. So that has been standardized and making sure. And this information will be disclosed with the annual report. So we will be able to share the benchmark that we have, and we can benchmark what is disclosed by the entities relative to the benchmark that we have. I think I've covered most of the issues.
Thank you, Acting DG and the team. Can I give the last part? We are left with, we are still left with a couple of minutes. If members would like to have the last bite, Honorable Nkuna.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm noting with hope the colors are not by the Deputy Minister on that shareholders' decision, because I believe that should be the core of the department, and we can incorporate the lesson learned to that bill to deal with many challenges that were learned and we are facing currently. I'm also noting, Honourable DM, on the report that is coming next week, I would then want to get a clear indication and a detailed indication on the issue of ESCOM fleet that is on slide 17 of the report. But I'm not saying you have to do it now. I think in the next meeting when you are reporting on the enterprises, that should get a more detailed issue. But I want to follow up on the issue raised by Honorable Shabalala, Judith, on the issue of the Department Risk Management plan. Are you comfortable with your plan? Is it working? Is it bearing any fruit? It does not need to be picked up, or are you working on making sure that it gets addressed? Many issues that have been raised here, because for me, risk management plan, it can be able to assist the department to do the oversight efficiently. Honorable Chair, allow me to get the attention of the acting DG dealing with energy on the issue of the mandate and powers from ESCOM, and that we don't lose our sight on on the issue that is identified in the MP and on our MDP mandate outcome form, that the state-owned companies need to produce decent employment through inclusive growth. But I want to check on the issue of the provision of efficient energy or electricity related services vis-a-vis the aging infrastructure. I quoted on your report on December 20 on the profile of ESCOM power station, but also to balance the two, the affordability vis-a-vis the environmental issues around that matter and the legal actions that is clouding that program. Are you able as a department to balance the two? Are you willing, or what is it that needs to be done, or what is it that the parliament needs to have interventions on? But I'm noting on our okay the comments by the Deputy Minister, the work that has been done there on the debt recovery and on the issues raised by Honorable Shabalala on the background, also on your background actually, to recover from the background poverty and stuff. But Honorable Deputy Minister, have you considered as a department to join efforts with other departments, for example, the Department of Culture, to make sure that we get to support municipalities there, just to understand their challenges on what is it that we need to give support, what is it that we need to intervene to those municipalities owing ESCOM, but also what is it that we need to do for them to recover that. I believe as Parliament, we have a responsibility to make sure that government works in all sections, and the government departments, they have to work with each other and integrate services, skills and knowledge to make sure together we can move forward. I'll park my question, Honourable Chair, but I think they must cover the detailed information. From the reply of the Honourable President in Sonnet 2019, that we need to make state-owned enterprise to have a great role to play in the economic transformation and development growth. I think that I will pass that question for the next meeting to say, what is it that our SOEs are doing to make sure that they realize that mandate? For me, thank you.
Number 30.
Chair, back to the point, as much as I have welcomed the responses, especially from the GM and the DG and the entire delegation, mine is just to check with them, and when they'll respond, will they come back with a detailed and proper structure. But I just wanted to check the relationship, the status quo of the department with the entities. Is it the one that is are you relating to it or not? Individual check when you next time you come. Because I think that's the foundation for us to understand the operation and how are you relating with them, be it the shareholders, your management, and we need to understand as a department if we can say now, how do you relate better with individual needs in LSCOM and all the stuff? We need to get that understanding. So I think it's most important. But one of us did ask that. I think you have just omitted, or you just, let's say you have omitted that question, but I think it's more fundamental so that we understand better how do they cooperate with it in terms, and we know there are legislation, we meet with them quarterly, blah, blah, but for us to have a smooth running and safeguard the interest of South Africans. We need to see when the need arises, are they flexible to accept your call, your assistance, and your supporting structure. So in all, you must not be in a position to respond now, GM, but I think the next session we need to apply the relationship and be frank, open, so that we need to know where to go, how to assist.
Like, is there any legislation that hampering you in terms of running these entities? Is there any challenges? I think that's the essence of the question.
I think it is very safe to say that we will receive the report, that we know quite often deputy acting or dealing well. When you say you're giving writing, you're giving writing, they get lots of things in the mix of giving you in writing. So we celebrated writing. However, can it be very clear then in terms of your organogram? I thought you would just give me on top of your head to say at the national level, we've got an acting PCG, we've got CFO and all of that. That's what I thought you would give me, not to say we hoping to feel the PCG. No, no, that we great. That we're hoping to see in the next time, there's no time frame. So for me, there's no, I don't understand that time that ever written like this here, DM. I want to be friends with you, I don't know what's happening. I don't know who's the CFO, I don't know who the CEO, if they is. So that's what we wanted to know, so that we know next time when you come, who are we talking to and what they're looking for? Who's the strategist, who does the strategy in your department? Those are top positions that we need to know, and the top in the senior of our hand. Not to say we're giving writing or giving the strategy. For me, I've got a problem. The issue of youth, I'm very interested. When you come back, when we deal with your performance and what you're doing, you only highlighted around the things of internship programs, where you did 78 and was 9 or something like that. I don't know where they are, and you know, there's this thing of the youth tech census that we did adopt in Parliament at some point in the fourth administration, if I'm not wrong. Are we taking advantage of that? I know you're a department, but are we also perhaps encouraging our private partners that are investing in this SOEs or SOEs just to make sure that they do have this intake, and how do we make sure that we support them with the program? But at this point, it's just to say we've got the presentation, we'll just go back and just empower ourselves. For now, we don't have specific answers to specific questions we've asked. We just have this work in progress. So, okay, last one. Jay, when we do the progress report, like the SDG says, can we have this SOEs coming? We want all of them to come, all of them. They are heads of those SOEs, they need to come with you. Because there's a middleman helping you, a shareholder, so we need to understand and want to hear from them. What are they doing? So we want that accountability. You can come and tell us what they've told you, because quite often you're going to tell us what they've told you in terms of their operation. So we want to hear from them. So when you come, appeal with them.
Yeah, but when we deal with them, they don't point. You might be point a finger to them in your in their absence, and when they come, they point a finger. Therefore, that a company will like to see. Yeah. Are we done with all the? That's okay.
Sure, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. And thanks again to the honourable colleagues. We will endeavour to, in the scheduled meetings for which there is a specific reporting expected of us, that we will endeavour to be as detailed with the information that should come. There is nothing precluding the committee inviting anyone they want to appear before the committee. I think if we take that as a principle, again, it should be in how the committee may envisage how it seeks that to be done. I'm trying to imagine if we want to have an exhaustive engagement with to ask the report seven entities, if we bring all seven here on the same day, if it is something that in the view of the committee is really advisable. But again, it's for the committee to make that call. The principle is that they are eligible and ought to come before the committee when the committee so determines. I would wish for something that is organized, orderly. I'm not suggesting it is not, but it should be that we look to what we want to achieve, how best can we achieve that. If we can achieve it in one day, I think the committee may want to look into that, but I think the principle is okay, that they should come before the committee. There is really, on the relationship with the entities, I would not say there is any obstacles or inhibitions in the sense that either, yes, some entities do not have like very well-defined legislative instruments that give birth to them, but there is not a doubt about the relationship in terms of ownership and therefore the department acting as a shareholder representative. The other things that we are working on seek to really concretize the that relationship in the form of that shareholder management bill we were talking to. So it's a very supportive, mutually supporting kind of relationship, at least from what I've seen since the little time I've spent there. Is often the board would be interacting with the ministry on a range of matters to do with the kind of challenges that are there. That exchange is continuous, and again in the APPs there is now an intention to have that structured, taking place in periodic kind of frequencies that are agreed to. So insofar as that, there shouldn't be any qualms. I think in pursuing the challenges, I think the collaboration, the interface with COCTA, insofar as those municipalities and environments that pose a challenge, I think the intercumbent arrangements really dictate that that should happen. The acting DG was just telling me that last night the DG of COCTA was already communicating to say what can be done to try and deal with the matters. And I think, again, without sounding unsympathetic, but from where we sit, it should be that we also work for the sustainability of these entities. And from working for their sustainability, it must be that they, just as they must borrow in order to keep the lights on, we must be mindful that we've got to honor such, and it should not be that they are led into a situation in which they become unviable. We need them to be viable, and to that extent we should work together, collaborate to get them to do the work. I think I'd leave the DG to talk to those matters, some of which would come back to. I thought on the organizational structure, I think what we must do is to share with the committee the approved staff establishment that is there. But I'm saying, on top of that, on arrival, the minister did express what is the inadequacy in the provisions that are there in terms of approved posts in the establishment, such that that establishment needs to be taken on review so as to really ensure that the competences required are in the organizational structure. But I think that can be shared because there's one organizational structure at a time. So that is what can be shared, so that we can then identify what are the gaps in it, and then when it is changed, you can then see the difference between what was there and what is coming. I think we should really provide for that. And I thought that also the working with our team, the parliamentary liaison officer from our on our side, working together with the committee secretary, we've got to just make sure that nothing gets lost in terms of those matters that were said to be information that is going to be made available. I think in between meetings that should happen, so that the committee is then furnished with all the information. The DG might comment on the issues of youth and all those other matters and the team. Thanks.
Okay, Honourable Mazu.
I'm so sorry to do this, but could I interject just quickly before the Deputy Minister hands over to the DG, acting DG? Chair, there's a question about the Parliamentary Liaison Officer and the role that they play with respect to members of Parliament. Now, we need to be guided by the Deputy Minister and the Minister here. Does the Parliamentary Liaison Officer, do they report directly to the Minister and the Deputy Minister, or do they report to the Department of Public Enterprise? So, for example, if any of us want to meet with minister or deputy minister, do we contact the liaison officer and the liaison officer sets up the appointment, or do we work through the department? I just want to know what the correct protocol is, because there has been some misunderstanding, and if anyone watched the ESCOM inquiry into state capture, they'll know the relationship that I enjoyed with ex-minister Lynn Brown's liaison officer, who behaved completely outside the bounds of protocol. So I think, you know, let's just start off as you wish us to continue. So maybe if we can just know what the protocol is, it will go a great way to helping us.
I think the Deputy Minister have to respond a little.
Okay,
it cannot be the
I don't know much about what was happening before I was
not
there.
Just want to the clarity how do we interact.
The ideal and the most I think the design it's meant for that the parliamentary liaison office is meant to create facilitate the interface. Lebohang, for instance, is always our point of call in respect of what is taking place and what is expected. So my assumption, and they report to the ministry. They don't report anywhere else. They report to the ministry. So if anything is channeled through them, it gets directly to either the deputy minister or the minister. I think the arrangement is as such as I've seen it.
Thank you.
And we'd like to keep it that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
JP would like to make sure that I can talk to that man on the legislation.
In terms of that, I think the Deputy Minister actually did respond in terms of the relationship that we actually have with the FOC, just to probably give comfort to the committee members that in terms of the department and the FOCs, we actually interact quite closely with the executives in those SOCs, be it on the financial side, be it on the operational side. So there is actually a very conducive and cooperative relationship between the two. So there is no, there is nothing that actually inhibits us from actually from getting the information. So I just wanted to probably point out to that. We actually even well, as far as actually having even weekly meetings, quarterly meetings, monthly meetings, depending on where the FOC is at. If some of the FOCs are actually in under distress, so to speak, then that's when we actually interact with them much more closely vis-a-vis those that are stable. So that's what I wanted to probably say.
On the risk management plan as well as on the youth, anything you want to say on that?
I'd like to apologize about the structure. Probably I didn't get the question very clear. But the structure is simple, straightforward. We have the DG and we've got about six DDGs. DDG for corporate management, DDG for governance and legal. So deals with the board and the appointment of the board, the AGMs, everything.
Within the Department of Foreign Affairs?
Yes, within the Department of Foreign Affairs. So DDG for governance and...
Six DDGs?
Yes.
Okay.
Then we've got the CFO at the chief director level. We have a DDG for financial assessment and investment. So the DDG will be responsible for the financial and funding, all issues that relate to funding and the financials of the SOCs, including all related transactions around the PFMA application, Section 54, section all the section of the PFMA. But also we've got two DDGs who are responsible for two sectors, energy resources. Mahola is responsible for energy, for ESCOM, SAFCOL and Alexco. So everything that has to deal with Alexco, ESCOM and SAFCOL. So you can ask her how many trees that SAFCOL has. So
yeah.
She can tell you the number of trees. She can tell you how many plants. So she has to understand the operations and she spent more time talking with the CEO, the guys in generation, coal contracts. You can imagine how complicated ESCOM is. So over and above that, we overlay self-call, a number of trees, and Alexco, she can tell you the number of diamonds that are there in the ocean where they mine them. This is an exaggeration. So also have SCDDG for transport and defense. So there are four entities under that responsibility. SAA, SA Express, Transnet, and TNET. So you can imagine, you have to be an expert in aviation, you have to be an expert in transport, in freight transport, in rail transport, you have to be an expert in manufacturing, you have to have engagement. So, I mean, the engagement that we have, including all manner of stakeholders that we have, that relates to the department, you speak to the department, there are so many IMC as a department that we belong to. So we COPTA. We are part of the IMC that talks to these issues. The point that the Deputy Minister was making yesterday, we are dealing with the issues in Soweto around the DG phoned me last night because there was a situation that we needed to attend. So we belong to so many IMC, so many clusters, and over and above that, we need to be engaging with the entities and know what is happening in the entities. One of the points probably I wanted to highlight is that I think I noted the point that Honorable Mazonia has talked about visiting the head office. But also I think it's important to, particularly for ESCOM, to visit the power stations and the National Control Center. I think for the members, I would encourage you to visit. You get the sense of what is happening in the organization by visiting the National Control Center and the power plant, because that is where these issues are and you are able to ask for us. But also the port, I think to understand when we talk about the efficiency of the port, why we talk about the cost of doing business, the fact that why we've got so many trucks on entry from Gauteng to Durban,
yeah,
when most of those goods should be on the rail. And I think, you see, it helps sometimes to go and visit this, not the head office, but the operation to understand this, this issue. On there?
No. Continue.
So, I mean, the one of the points that we probably need to highlight about the shareholder management bill is the fact that I think the point that we always want to make it very subtle is that there's no legislation that establishes the department and that defines the mandate of the department succinctly, very clear. And we think that the shareholder management bill also should deal with those issues, that we don't get the narrative that is in the public domain around what is the role of the department. Want to talk about the process?
There was a question about outcome for the NDP that was for a future meeting.
Yeah.
Can become a very elaborate discussion. Outcome for talk about efficient and affordable electricity to enable economic growth. And when we talk about efficient and affordable, we refer to the certainty around supply, the certainty around the price changes, and certainty around the levels of price that we have in the country. And you play that against the challenges that we have with environmental complex. So I think where we are as a country is, so we have the challenges around supply, certainty of supply that we are dealing with ESCOM around the 9-point plan, and we've seen some level of improvement in that environment, even though there are still considerable changes, and it will take quite some time for us to get into a comfortable space around ESCOM's operations being at a level of performance that would make us comfortable. And I think the question that was asked around the reviewing of the ESCOM's fleet, when we give you that presentation, we give you a sense of the kind of issues that we are dealing with in terms of the profile of the plants and where we are and the level of investment that's required. The second issue is around the environmental compliance and what the country has committed to in terms of making a transition to fossil fuels. So we've made those commitments. There's from an ESCOM perspective, there's a considerable level of capital that we need to spend to ensure that those plants do comply with the minimum emission standard and to ensure that they comply with the Air Quality Act. And there are challenges in terms of us being able to get to the level of compliance that's required over the specific time periods. But it's a risk that we are having conversations within government. I think we've noted the court cases with the environmental NGOs in terms of the view they've taken on government stance on providing those postponements. So we will continue to have the conversations with government around how we mitigate this risk. But I think fundamentally, outside of that, is the concept of a just transition that as a government we need to start talking about between government, civil society and parliament around how do we transition South Africa from being a primarily fossil fuel based country to cleaner energy sources, and how do we mitigate the socioeconomic impact that actually comes with that. So, whether it's environmental compliance or whether it's just plants coming of age, how are we going to make sure that we've created alternative opportunities to those towns that are currently based solely on the mine and the power plants that are supporting that town, and how do we make sure that transition is just and that it doesn't, that the impact is not as adverse as would be anticipated if we don't put alternative plans on the table. But I think it's quite an elaborate subject that we would need to get into in terms of what the extent of the risk looks like and the roadmap to the transition.
Honourable members, I think we have exhausted the contribution, and we are at the tail end of this thing. And let me take this opportunity to thank the Deputy Minister for his presence here, including the department led by the acting DG, and we hope that we will continue engaging. But I think what is clear from the members of this committee is that we would like to take this process, which has been started by the Swiss Parliament, to deal with these problems that are in these entities, which reduce our portfolio committee into a state capture. But I think we want to take that process with you and continue the good work they have done, and consolidate so that by end of our term we will be running efficient and non-corruptible state-owned enterprises, which will be efficient and profitable, also helping us to deal with the very serious ills that we are confronted with in the country currently. We will work with the department, we'll continue engaging, but I think there is also a feeling that just visiting these entities, we expose to the good part of them, is not the priority. The priority is for them to come here one by one. I think we won't be able to bring all of them at the same time. And we hope that the ministry, including the department, will be assisting us to always be present when we're engaging them one by one. And they give us a good picture of what is happening, and also answer these serious questions. I think Honorable Mazone tried to give us a very frightening picture of the situation. And we hope when we get there, we'll be getting answers to some of the issues that she has raised as a person who has been in this committee for some time. And we hope also as these members of this committee working together as a team. We are not IFP, we're not DA, we're not ANC, but we are the portfolio committee that is charged to actually do an oversight and assist this department to execute its responsibility and with good results at the end of the day. And we will be one voice.
Born again.
Exactly.
You'll be born again.
Yes, we'll be willing, all of us, to be born again. And of course, we are political beings. At other levels, we'll interact politically and ideologically. We'll have our true colors somewhere. But here, we are a team that has one objective: to deal with corruption and deal not just remove corruption, but we would like to see at the end of the day, because that's what the society is waiting. The society, if we have not arrested, we don't have pink suits in some of the culprits. The society won't.
Orange.
They're orange. Yeah, I don't even know that. But I know that color is bright. But all I know is that color is undesirable. I don't want to see myself in that suit. But pink or orange as it is, the society will be comfortable and have confidence in this team when it leads to some individual seen wearing that bright suit and paying for their sins, so that when they die one day, they will be forgiven by God. Because they will be paying the price. With those words, thank you, honorable members, and I think we will end this meeting with that tone.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, the DM.
When is this session?
And so,
It is a function of